I'm going to read some passages of Scripture this morning, and all of them have to do, and if you want to follow with me, there's several of them that I have here that I'm going to read, and they all have to do with fellowship, and I'm going to speak to you on the subject of fellowship with the Lord this morning and what that means and how to have fellowship with Him, and just a lot of Scriptures that have reference to that. To find in Him the greatest joy that anyone could ever experience. And talk about what it means to have that joy in being with Him. In 1 John, that's a little book of 1 John in the back of your, towards the back of your Bible, beginning with verse 1. John, who wrote this and who also wrote the Gospel of John, was with the Lord Jesus for the number of years that he was here on, that Jesus was here on this earth. And he wanted to write what Jesus was all about and tell us so that we could find him and have fellowship with him and the joy of being with him. And so he begins with 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning. So he's starting out from the very beginning, and he's saying that the Lord Jesus Christ has been with God and was God from the very beginning of creation and the very beginning of God, and that he was literally God. If you want to know who God is, Jesus said, "Look at me. He who has seen me," he said, "has seen the Father." Amen. So as we get acquainted with Jesus in the Word of God and read about him, we see who he was and what he did, and that he was a representative of the Father, the greatest representative that ever lived. And incidentally, those of us who are Christians, we're supposed to represent him also. We're not representing a denomination. We're not representing a church. We're not representing a religion. We're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, so that anybody that wants to find salvation and find peace with God, they will come through the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the only way to come. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's what he proclaimed. Amen? And he was. So we're talking about that which was from the beginning. John says, "which we have heard." He heard him personally. He also said, "which we have seen with our eyes." He saw him. Amen. "Which we have looked upon." In other words, we've observed all the things that he did and who he was. "And our hands have handled." We've hugged him. We've touched him. And he's hugged us. And John said, "and he's the Word of life." Amen. Praise God. The life, this life, the life of God through the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested. That means it was revealed. It was made known. It had become observable so that everyone could see him. Amen. "We have seen and we bear witness," verse 2, "and declare to you that eternal life." It's not an ending life. It's a life without end. The life that Jesus gives us is eternal life. It's the very life of God himself. And when we're born again by the Spirit of God, that's the eternal life that we have. Amen? How many of you realize you have eternal life if you've been born again? Amen? Praise God. It's eternal. Amen? Never ending. And that's the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. It was manifested to us, made known to us, because God wants us to enjoy it. His eternal life through His Son. Amen? "That which we have seen," verse 3, "and heard, we declare to you that you also," this is the reason he's declaring this, this is the reason he wrote this, is that so we, all of us that can hear this word, we may have fellowship with, you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who our fellowship is. If you're a Christian, your body becomes the habitation of God, the temple of God through the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're one of God's children. Amen? If it doesn't, then talk to the Lord and get right with Him so His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a son of God. Amen? And so he says, we're writing these things, verse 4, so that your joy, how many U's do we have? Your joy may be full. Amen? He wants your joy to be full. He wants you to be happy. Amen? You don't necessarily have to be happy with circumstances and situations, because we all go through bad circumstances and situations even after we're Christians. And some Christians in some country are being killed, and their wives and their children are being taken away from them because they're Christians. So they're not going through a good time as far as this world is concerned, but they are having a joy of the Lord in their hearts, and they know where they're going to spend eternity. And when the Spirit leaves this body, the Bible says to be absent from the body, the real person that lives in these bodies, that looks out these two windows that we call eyes, that is our spirit being. When we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord if we're Christians. Amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? And so verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from a little bit of sin every now and then, or all sin. Aren't you glad? Praise God. God does that. That's a God thing. That's not your thing. We can't do that. God does that. And He does to everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. St. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came into His own, that is, He came into His nation, the Jews. He was born of a Virgin Mary, and His own received Him not. The Jews rejected Him, hung Him on a cross. But as many as received Him, how many of you have received Him? Notice it doesn't say believed, it says received. As many as received Him, to them gave He power. Amen? Has God given you power after you've been saved? Amen. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So if we put our trust in His name, believe on Him, don't just say, I believe on Him like I believe in Santa Claus. Are you with me? It means you believe on Him, we put our trust in Him. And then when we do that, we have fellowship with Him. And we have power to be the sons of God. And He tells us in verse 13 of John 1, which were born. If you put your trust in Him and you received Him, you were born. Born again. That's what He told Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot be saved. Which were born. Look at this. They weren't born of blood. They were not born nor of the will of the flesh. You can't will yourself to be born again. Amen. Nor of the will of man. But this birth is from God. Amen. So if you've been born again, it's been God's work in you. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Revelation 3:20, behold, the Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. Notice who's standing at the door. It's not religion, the denomination, the church, or do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. He says, I am standing at the door. Amen. God is alive. Jesus is alive. The Holy Spirit's alive, and they're real. And they're standing at the door, and they're knocking. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. And I'm speaking in His behalf this morning, so His Holy Spirit is hoping to help you hear His voice. You hear His voice. If any man hear my voice and open the door, will you open the door? If you do, He says, I will come into him, and that's a promise. It's not dependent on you. It's dependent on Him. He says, if you'll open the door, I'll come in. If you'll let me into your life, I'll come in. I'll be in your life. I'll bless you. I'll give you joy and peace that passes understanding. If any man open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him and he with me. In other words, I'm not just going to come in for a little bit of time and just as a visitor. I'm going to come into you and I'm going to birth you, and you're going to become one of my children, and I'm going to be your heavenly Father. Amen? That's what salvation is. Praise God. I'll sup with him and he with me. 1 John chapter 5. I'm just reading scriptures right now. I mean, that's me all I do this morning. Just whatever the Lord wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And 1 John, again, back in the little book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Amen? We have this witness. God witnesses in himself. He witnesses to us. He who does not believe in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. So if there's any, what he's saying here, in simplicity, if we try to come to God any other way, we try to come to God through works, through do's and don'ts and rules and regulations and keeping those, if we try to come to God by joining a church or by getting baptized, and I'm not saying we don't do these things. We're supposed to do all of those things. But what he's saying is that there's not any of those things that save us apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to put our trust and faith in him. Amen. And then when we do those things, God says we're saved. Amen. We've been born again. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. 1 John 5:10, he who believes in the Son of God has this witness in himself, and that witness, of course, is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 says, and this is the testimony. I'm just enjoy reading this. Amen. And this is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in where? His Son. He doesn't say anywhere else it is. It is in his Son. Amen. And I want to say this right now just so you'll remember. You don't have to die for your sins. Jesus took your sins. He took your sins. You personally. Jesus died for you. He bore his sins. He took your sins. This is what God says. He took our sins. He took every man, that is every woman, everybody that's ever been born into this world. Now, that doesn't mean they all have it, because we have to receive it. But he bore the sins of the whole world in his body on the cross, and he died in our place. He was buried in your place and my place and everybody that's ever lived and ever will live on this earth. He died in their place and was buried in their place, and he was also resurrected in our place. Amen? So because he died, and because he took our sins in his body, and because he was resurrected, all of us who receive him have experienced the same thing in us. And his Holy Spirit and his Word bears witness with us. Amen? Aren't you glad? Where was I? 1 John chapter 5. His life is in his Son. Verse 12, 5:12, he who has his Son has life, and he who does not have his Son does not have life. John 14:15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you every now and then. Oh, is that what it says? He may abide with you forever. Amen? Aren't you glad? Amen? Praise God. And he says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Amen. How many of you experienced the Holy Spirit? Amen. Been born again. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. My body is the habitation of God through the Spirit. And so is yours if you're a Christian. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, Jesus says, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. And at that day, verse 20, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You'll know that. Amen. You'll know it. Amen. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'd like for you to say, if you know him, I'd like for you to, you know him and admit that you know him. Amen. Oh. 1 John 4, where was it? Temple, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's a question. 1 John 4:12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 13 of 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. That's how we know. Amen. 1 John 4:15 says, whoever shall confess, 1 John 4:15, whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That means if we publicly confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord, God belongs in us, and we belong in him. 1 Corinthians 6:16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? If you're joined to a harlot, you're one body with that harlot. You're one body with her. For the two, he says, will become one flesh. Verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen. Flee, verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexuality or sexual immorality sins against his own body. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Verse 20, why are we not our own? Because you were bought with a price. What was the price? The price of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God paid that price. He paid that price for us. Isn't that wonderful? He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He died in our place and was resurrected in our place. Praise God. You're bought with a price, the greatest price it could have ever paid. God paid for you. Jesus died for you. If you were the only person in the world, you need to understand this. If I was the only person in the world, if you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for your sins. He died for your sin. So you can have a relationship with God and be saved from heaven, be saved and go to heaven and escape hell. An eternal separation from God. For you are brought at a price, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what is fellowship with God? What does it mean? Communion or fellowship in the Bible means, it's from a word called koinonia. And it means to have fellowship with. It means to have communion. It means sharing in common. You have things in common with each other. It's always said fellowship and communion. And there's a lot of definitions I could give. Partnership means God is your partner through life, not just a partner for religious things, but did you know God wants to supply all, everybody say all of my needs. God wants to supply all of your needs. Isn't that what God said? I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I'm so happy he supplied me things, automobiles, finances, jobs. He supplied me a heartbeat. He supplied me a brain. He supplied me lungs so I can breathe. He supplied me a wife. Amen. He supplied me children. Amen. He supplied me finances. There's been times when the Lord said, Lewis, I want you to go full time. And I have a good job and I'm making probably $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year. I've always worked. I worked for Gold's Construction Company, Barry Contracting, our own construction company. I had my own business as an inspector in refineries and plants, and God's always blessed me. I didn't do that. He did that. He did that for me. And I gave him the praise and the honor and the glory. And because I gave him a prize and honor and the glory, I didn't just give him 20%. I've given a lot of money away. Way more than 20%. Why? Because I learned what he said. What did he say? Give. And it shall be given to you. Now, he doesn't say, and I'm not just talking about giving money. I'm talking about giving your time, giving yourself. That's what he's talking about. And he doesn't say, I'll give it back to you according to how you gave it to me. He doesn't say, I'll give you 10% back. He doesn't say, I'll give you 20% back. He said, I'll give to you. How will I give it to you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen. He doesn't give like we do. He gives abundantly. He gives like God gives. Amen. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many of you have been blessed like that? Amen. I'm not saying a billionaire or there's a lot of millionaires and billionaires and people in this world that have money, then they know what to do with, but there's one thing that they don't have, the peace of God that passes all understanding. They don't have that peace. They're looking for it. Many of them take drugs, drink alcohol, do all kinds of things trying to find peace. They don't realize peace has already been purchased for them. All they have to do is just receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would have peace. And it wouldn't just be a peace that comes and goes. It's an everlasting peace. It's the peace because God says, I will abide with you forever. Amen? The peace of God that passes understanding. It passes understanding because we don't understand it. Peace is the outcome of fellowship. It's what God has given us. It's a communion. It's His contribution to us. It means a partnership. It means a fellowship. It means to be having a partner or someone who wants to communicate with us and who is our... How many of you ever had a best friend? Amen? I'm talking about a really good friend. You think or you believe, and that friend may not have said it, or you may not. You may be somebody else's good friend. Amen. And you may not lay your life down for them. Now, a lot of people in the military, as good friends, lay down their life for their friends. They saw their friends start to get killed, and they stepped in front of them so they wouldn't get killed. Are you with me? Jesus, God's Son, stepped in front of you so you wouldn't get killed. Amen. Aren't you glad? And so that's what this means. It means I have communion. I have fellowship with Him, that He loves me, and I love Him. And I don't love Him as near as much as He loves me. And none of us ever will. But we do have the love of God, it says, shed abroad in our hearts by His Spirit that's given unto us. And so when we love someone like God loves, and we can because God gives us His love, amen, then we can come to a conclusion, or we can reason or think. Or as the Amplified Bible says, we can consider, we can count on it to be so. We can come to the conclusion as to what God has done for us is by God, and He did it, and nobody can take away from it or add to it. Amen? And that's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to have communion with God. That's what it means to have fellowship with God. God wants not just for us to believe in Him. God wants to be your best friend. He wants to share in your life. And most people, when they think about that, they think, well, this is just a religious matter. It just has to do with religion. No. It has to do with everything that you experience in your life. It has to do with your health. It has to do with your job. It has to do with your finances. It has to do with your children. It has to do with everything in your life. God wants to have something to do with everything in your life, and what He does in your life is always good. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand. I want to thank you all for being here this morning. Praise God. Let's be dismissed. Brother Sammy, will you dismiss us, please, sir? Thank you.